Hello, everybody. This is Bob Brooks, host of the Prudent Money Radio Show. Just got off the program. Want to give you an idea of what we talked about today. We were discussing inflation, the big monthly inflation number that tends to move the markets either up or down, is going to be released 7:30 Central Standard Time on Wednesday. Maybe a little bit of a problem this time because one of the components has really seen a lot of inflation, a lot of price increases over the past month and a half. Will it show up in the numbers? And could be a big Wednesday surprise for the markets. We talked a little bit about that and discussed what you need to know just in general. Always love to have you listen. Thanks for listening on your wherever you listen to your favorite podcast. We hope you're one of our favorite your favorite podcast. So if you have questions for me, please go to the website at prudentmoney.com. If you want to sit down and talk about your portfolio, talk about money management, if you need a financial advisor, I would love to talk to you. And you can get more information just by reaching out to us at info@prudentmoney.com. Keep the faith, everybody.
KDKR, Decatur, Dallas, Fort Worth, and KYJC Commerce. Portions of KDKR programming do not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, or staff.
Prudent Money with Bob Brooks is sponsored by the Prudent Money Foundation on 91.3.
Well, could inflation be a surprise? Today we're going to take a look. Stay tuned for Prudent Money. Good afternoon. This is Bob Brooks, and you have questions from you, and I love to hear what's going on and however we can help. So I want to do that and be there for you as a resource. That's all at prudentmoney.com. Also, want to make sure that you know that we do podcast every program, and we do that within about 10 minutes after the program is up at 3:30. So you can listen at your leisure. Cast, we're going to be there. And you can also, if you want to make it real easy, prudentmoney.com, and then you'll see the podcasting section. So that's off the website, www.prudentmoney.com. 1-877-913-5357. I do have a line open. Would love to hear from you today, whatever is on your mind. Let's talk a little bit about inflation. And if you've ever paid attention to the monthly inflation numbers, generally speaking, I'll watch that those numbers being released on a station like CNBC, quote the new inflation numbers in a couple of different ways. Total inflation and then inflation without food and energy. I've never really understood why that was important. I guess it's just the two big numbers, obviously, of what's going on with food and then what's going on with energy. I mean, those really affect our pocketbook. So they want to make sure that everything else around it is not making big moves. And if they are, we want to know about it because that's a big red flag. Well, and this is interesting to me because I numerous times I found in my career, I found that when oil prices go up, they do so kind of without fanfare, without any big news stories. It's kind of like one of these things where you see it up a little bit higher than maybe last month. Then you take a look at it and you say, wow, it's really gone up. Very quietly, inflation has gone up. The price of oil has gone up from $67 a barrel to $87 a barrel. At least it was roughly $87, what I saw today. And that's a big move and has done it over literally a month and a half. I don't think that has shown up in inflation reports quite yet. So what we're looking at is on Wednesday, we're going to be getting the numbers coming in. They're going to tell us, tell the markets how inflation looks, and what the latest report is. My guess is that the number that everybody's going to be watching, if they haven't been paying attention to energy prices, are going to be surprised that it's really maybe making a big jump. Then the important number becomes, what is inflation without food and energy? Because anytime you see the price of oil move, you see gasoline prices move, and gasoline prices reached the highest seasonal level in more than a decade. I've just always been surprised at how high gas prices are, considering that we are really only sitting at, we've been down the 70s most of the time as far as price of oil goes, but yet energy prices have been high. My guess is this could catch the markets by surprise. Obviously, the markets know that the energy prices have been up, but don't know to what extent they're going to show up in the inflation numbers. So that inflation without food and energy is going to be a real, real important one. And this could be the one number that kind of knocks the market out of this place they've been for a couple months of just kind of going nowhere. It's almost like the market is really stuck. And this is the big difference, I think, between a market that has gone through a severe bear market and will be another maybe 10 or 15 years before you see another bear market, versus a market that has gone through maybe only the first part of a bear market. I know that there's probably 99% of the analysts who might listen to the program, or heard me say this, would disagree that's even possible. But like I've said, and I've said many times, the market doesn't look like it's ready to just go up into a new bull market. And I think that, I think that what we have is investors kind of waiting for that next piece of motivation that's going to make the market really break out and go up much higher. Now, if we have a inflation number that's way lower with everything going on, that could be it. Meanwhile, the market is just kind of bouncing around, not really showing much energy one way or the other. When September is typically a good, it's funny. I've read a report that September is usually a really great month out of the 12 months in the market. Then I've read September is one of the worst. We'll just say this: September has the potential to be very volatile in the month of September. So we'll see what is up and coming here on Wednesday, and we'll talk about it as it happens. 1-877-913-5357. I do have a line open. Talking about interest rates, and obviously the bond market really reacts when inflation is going higher. And typically the bond market goes in price, it goes down, and the inverse relationship, and interest rates go higher. Well, this is something that I'm sure it's not a surprise now. Maybe it was all of last year and the year before. But investors have been surprised by declining bond values and have been surprised that their mutual fund accounts, their mainly bond mutual fund accounts, have been going down. What you may not know is that the U.S. treasury bond, the 10-year treasury bond, which is kind of the benchmark for everything that's bond, as far as bonds go, is on track for a third year of losses. So think about this for a second. U.S. Treasury bond has lost money in 2021, 2022, and if the markets were to close today for 2023, it would be down 3 years in a row. That hasn't happened ever. Never has it happened. 250 plus years of U.S. history as far as bond markets go, and that has never happened. And maybe it won't. Maybe bonds will rebound, and when that happens, you'll see interest rates fall. So it begs the question, are bonds about to become a good buy? Are they beat up enough? Tough to say, because you just don't know how overvalued they actually were, and really, what is the price that makes them come down to being a decent value? But I tell you, what will end up happening is that bonds, when it is a good time to buy, bonds will be ignored. People will not want to buy them, and I think that will be a big mistake. So I advise, not giving people advice to buy anything, just giving advice, not giving advice specifically, just saying, keep your eye on the 10-year treasury bond. And you might be thinking, how in the world am I going to do that? Very easy. Go to CNBC.com, go to the bond section in the markets, and you'll see 10-year bond. You click on the graph, and you'll see whether it's going up or down. As you'll see, the 10-year treasury bond has been going down for quite a long time. And if you start to see it go up, maybe it is time to buy. I don't think that we'll see a good buying opportunity till sometime in 2024. I don't think it'll be 2023. This is Bob Brooks, 1-877-913-5357. Do have a line open. We'd love to hear from you. We're up against a break. Stick around. I'll be right back.
The Word for Today is excited to announce the new official online home for the ministry of Pastor Chuck Smith and Kay Smith, pastorchuck.org. At pastorchuck.org, you'll have instant access to thousands of hours of verse-by-verse teaching by Pastor Chuck Smith, from Genesis through Revelation, and full access to special messages on subjects such as prophecy and much, much more. Also at pastorchuck.org, a full library of great teachings by Kay Smith, and a section where you can read some of Pastor Chuck's books online, all free of charge. So visit the new official online home of The Word for Today and the ministry of Pastor Chuck and Kay Smith, pastorchuck.org.
Life can be beautiful, and it can also be bitter. Sometimes, whether by our own actions or forces completely out of our control, our lives can take a turn for the worse. I'm John Monroe, and Tuesday on The Verdict, we're learning how to handle the bitter moments of life as we dig deeper into our study of Moses. Find out more Tuesday on The Verdict.
The Verdict, weekday mornings at 10:30, here on Bible School Radio, KDKR.
Time and money. Of all of the things we'd like more of, those two have to be in the top five. This week on Truth for Life, we'll look at what the Bible has to say about the proper use of time and money. Study along with Alistair Begg this week on Truth for Life.
Weekdays at 5:30 a.m. here on 91.3 KDKR.
Welcome back. This is Bob Brooks, and you are listening to the Prudent Money Radio Show. Thank you so much for joining me today. You know I do appreciate it. 1-877-913-5357 is the number to call. Would love to hear from you if you got something on your mind. And you got a question, sure would love to answer it. So 1-877-913-5357. So it's talking about a good time to buy bonds. Maybe next year or so. Like I said, I still think that there's some issues to be dealt with before it starts to look good again. A question I get just about every day has to do with CDs and the higher rates of return that are being paid on what they're referring to as high yield money market accounts. And I'm just going to go through it real quick because I'm still getting really questions every day. Banks are going to will pay, and that rate of return, the one that's available, is real close to about 5, we'll call it 5% in a money market account. That's pretty good. Liquid, you can get your money in and out. About the only way you're going to get that from a bank is if you lock it up in a CD. And if you lock it up into a CD, what banks are doing makes it very difficult to know exactly what your annual rate of return is. But if they do it for 13 years, you're not getting a true 5%. If they do it for 6 years or 7 years or 8 years, you're not getting a true 5%. But you're getting it as long as you stay in the market, and you're getting. But you're, let's say it's 6%. You're getting half of that return. So unless it says 1 year, 5% CD, that's the only time that you're getting a true 5% rate of return on that money. Your big investment companies like Fidelity, Vanguard, Charles Schwab should all have money market accounts that are high yielding. You can put your money in, you can take your money out. They're paying roughly 5%. Not a recommendation, of course, just explaining how this all works. If you can afford to go out further, then when I say further is hold your money for 3 years, 5 years, even up to 10 years, you can get as high as 6% locked in and guaranteed through fixed annuities, which are really nothing, but they work just pretty much like a CD. So, you know, you have the question of, should I reduce risk in my investment account, my 401k account? If there is a high-yielding money market account, that could be a great place to go for a short-term period or a year, or could be a good diversification tool. A lot of times people don't look at money market type accounts as a good way to diversify. When they're yielding 5% or 4.5% even for that matter, that makes them an excellent resource. So just keep that in mind. This is Bob Brooks, and you are listening to the Prudent Money Radio Show. Thank you so much for joining me today. Last week, in fact, we had John Apollo, who you're very familiar with. He comes on once a month. We talk college topics and, you know, one of the bigger things you'll spend money on. And I got the funniest story. I don't know how many of you caught this that listened to it the other day, but generally speaking, my once-a-month guests don't surprise me. They all confirm for the program. I know they're going to call in or we're going to call them. It's all going to work. There's no surprises. Probably out of everybody I talk to each week or each month, John Apollo is probably the one that would surprise me the most of getting a calendar mixed up or anything like that. And so we started the program, and I'd called him after I got, he comes on the first Wednesday of every month. We talked last Wednesday, and so we didn't really a lot of big changes are happening in financial aid. New student loans are starting repayment plans again. So I wanted to have him back on Thursday. So he said, yeah, it'd be great. Love to do it. So Thursday comes along. We start the program. There's no John. Now, granted, I should have a plan B, right? That's what I talk about all the time, in case something happens. And little did I know that, and this is, I've known him for 5 or 6 years, that he lives in New York, and he is chief of the volunteer fire department. And just so happens, about 2:45, he got a call that a building was on fire. He had to go with his crew and put the fire out. So he was literally calling from the scene of the fire last week. I say, you know, you've been doing something long enough. There's a first for everything. There's definitely a first for that. I went over this a little bit, and we talked about it with John on Wednesday, and I wrote about it today. I just got to warn you of something that I came across that really, really concerns me. As you know, the last almost 3.5 years, student loan payments have been put on hiatus. You haven't had to pay them. Everything's been deferred, no interest, all in a way of helping the student loan borrower or buy votes, however you want to look at it. A survey came out from intelligent.com. Now, you know, surveys, to me, are a way to look at things, or possibility. But, you know, you interview 1,000 people out of 327 million people in the United States, and that doesn't say that this is absolutely a true representation of the entire country. But let's say, this number was pretty high. So it came out with 62% of student loan borrowers say they're going to boycott their student loans. And even if the true number of that, the fact that 62% of the people surveyed came out with that number would tell me that there is a legitimate percentage of people that are going to not pay their student loan payments. Can I tell you what a grave mistake that would be? You can have all the reasons in the world that you're not going to pay that payment. I think that the White House has handled this whole student loan forgiveness thing horribly. I realize that if you have student loans, you would really get your hopes up, and it seems like get your hopes down again. And getting some help with student loans would be great. But as you know, that ain't going to happen unless something's changed. I don't know about it. So if what you have to know is this, you've gone to school, you've worked hard to make good grades, you're working hard to start that career, and you're thinking about boycotting your payment, you're going to throw everything away by doing so. Student loan debt, as you've heard me say many times, I'll say it one more time, creates the biggest problems if you default on it. They can immediately take your paycheck, or part of your paycheck. You cannot get rid of student loan debt through bankruptcy. They can do, it's the U.S. government. They can do anything they want to do, and they will, to get that student loan paid back. It's not like any other debt. Maybe the IRS could be the one that's a little bit more serious than student loan debt. But it's neck and neck. Just know you'll create a whore and you'll trash your credit score. But that's not what I'm worried about. I'm worried about you having the government just going ahead and taking out of your paycheck that amount of money. Instead, call your servicer. This is what John Apollo always says. Call your servicer and say, it looks like I'm going to have trouble making my payment. What can I do? What steps can I take? They are there to help you through this to the completion of the day that you complete and pay off that student loan debt. They are there to do that. So make sure you call instead of just ignoring, instead of getting mad. Pray about it and go take some steps to get out of that student loan debt once and for all. By the way, John's website is mycollegecorner.com. Lots of things happening in the world of colleges, so we want to make sure that if you're in that stage of your life or your kids are, you know what steps to take and what steps not to take. This is Bob Brooks. If you've got a question for me, please go to the website at prudentmoney.com and send it in, because we are all out of time. Till we do meet again next time, keep the faith and have a great rest of the day.
That's all the time we have for today. Questions or comments for Bob, or to find out more great information like what you've just heard, visit www.prudentmoney.com. Be sure to join Bob Brooks again for the next edition of Prudent Money.